Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The life of Joseph is an amazing illustration of the provision which God has made for the sustenance and well-being of his people. From Joseph's earliest days of being the favorite son of his father and prophesying of the servitude of his brethren, his life was ordained to be for the salvation of the nation of Israel. In this, we see him clearly revealed as a type and foreshadow of Christ, who, being the only begotten of the Father, came into this low land of sin and sorrow, and through much tribulation triumphed and provided life itself for those of his kinsmen, even while we were yet sinners. The majority of Joseph's life was spent in the land of Egypt, yet he knew that this land was not the final chapter in God's design for those of the chosen race of Israel. He even served the king of Egypt for a season in order to fulfill the very purpose of God, but he was confident that the visitation of the Lord upon that nation was yet to come in a full deliverance from that land of darkness to which he was consigned at the present time. He testified of his disdain for Egypt and his hope in the resurrection by instructing them not to leave his bones in that land forever. Death is an awful prospect for even the bravest of men. Death is that which strips men naked and puts an end to all the dreams and hopes which belong to men in the flesh. The Scripture speaks of it as an enemy, which it truly is to this mortal body in which we dwell. Contrary to all of the psychologists and other physicians of no value, there can be no joy in the hour of death, except a man has been given a hope in the resurrection. All of that confidence which the ungodly may have in that approaching hour of death is but an empty vessel. The simple pass on and are punished. They have no fear of the judgment which is to come, because they lack the knowledge of it. God's children, on the other hand, cannot be buoyed up by the world's platitudes and its experts on dying. There is but one hope and expectation which can give them any peace in that approaching hour. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The hope of the resurrection is the very lifeblood of the saints. It alone can minister unto them in the vicissitudes of life, and most especially when the darkness of the approaching sunset of life begins to steal into their view. Paul said, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." That faith which is delivered to the saints is built on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This was no mere apparent resurrection, for there was no body left in that tomb. This body with which he arose was no cloud of vapors, but a real body that should be touched and felt, one in which he ate with his disciples and ascended into heaven, and shall so come again. The resurrection of the saints' bodies takes place, first of all, according to the power of God, and none in men. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. The resurrection of the bodies of the saints is the final testimony and demonstration of the grace of God. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. The resurrection of the saints' bodies take place because Christ has purchased it. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. All of the benefits of the sons of God are those which are bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. He has demonstrated his redemptive work by being the leader of his sheep. He is our example. The resurrection of the saints' bodies takes place because the gift of eternal life has already been given to the saints. It is impossible that anything which is eternal should ever perish. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Adam was barred from the garden so that he could not eat of the tree of life and live forever. All that Adam lost has been restored in Jesus Christ, and we have eaten his flesh and drank his blood. He is the tree of life. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.